Okay, and before I begin today's topic, which today we're going to focus on the different Islamic rulings concerning the sick people, before we focus on that, I'm going to ask you guys some questions from yesterday's lecture just to make sure that everybody is paying attention. Yesterday we covered some of the different Islamic rulings concerning the traveler. So let me see if you guys can remember what we've talked about. First question, true or false? Ramadan, the beginning of Ramadan, is determined through calculation. True or false? The beginning of Ramadan is determined from calculation. Very good, that is false. And I want you guys to again remember that. Okay, Ramadan is determined from sighting the moon. And again, all you need is one person. It doesn't matter where in the world he is. All you need is one reliable person to say that he or she has seen the moon. And then everybody begins fasting. So it doesn't matter if you live in America and somebody in Kuwait said that they saw the moon. If this person was reliable and trustworthy, then the rest of the people of the world begin to fast. So all these people who going around waiting for local sightings, they are not following the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're following a hadith of Ibn Umar. But guess what, guys? Ibn Umar cannot supersede the Prophet. Ibn Umar was a companion. He was not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't even take the word of the Sahaba over the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all you need is one person who is reliable to see the moon, and then everybody begins fasting. So all these people who follow this local sighting, they need to get back to the Quran and Sunnah. Okay? Next question, true or false? Who can know, true or false? The insane person must make up the days of Ramadan in which he missed fasting when he was insane. We're talking about a person that's suffering from schizophrenia. A person who suffers from schizophrenia. True or false, he must make up the days of Ramadan that he missed when he was insane and unable to fast. True or false? True or false? Let me see some answers. Where's the answers at? False, false. Okay, very good. That answer is false. That answer is false. We talked about that, how a person who is suffering from schizophrenia, if he loses his mind and goes insane, he is not held accountable for what he did then. Okay? So there is no reason for him to make up his fast, his salat, or anything else, because he's not held accountable for what he did when he was crazy. Next question. True or false? A person who dies before the month of Ramadan ends must make up his fast for him. True or false? A person who dies during the month of Ramadan, before the month ends, his family must make up the rest of the days for him. True or false? Very good, Heather. Very good. That answer is false. We talked about how that person who dies during Ramadan, he owes no debt to Allah for the rest of those days. Okay? So there's no reason for his family to make up those days for him. Next question, true or false? The traveler can break his fast the day before he travels. True or false? The traveler can break his fast the day before he travels. In other words, if you're going out of town tomorrow, is it true or false? You don't have to even think to fast the night before, because you know you're going out of town tomorrow. True or false? Very good. That answer is false. We talked about that in detail yesterday, how the person should wait until they leave the city limits while they're traveling. Very good, because you never know what's going to happen. Your trip can be postponed. If you're going to break your fast as a traveler, you break it as soon as you leave the city limits. Next question, true or false? A person who is traveling does not have to fast at all while he is away on his journey. True or false? A person who is traveling doesn't have to fast at all while he was away on his journey. Very good. That answer is false. And we talked in detail about that yesterday. And who can remember what is the ruling concerning the traveler? When should he start back to fasting? Who can remember? The person who is traveling on a long journey, when should he start back to fasting? Very good. After the fourth day. After the fourth day. Very good. If a person is going to be traveling and be away for longer than 4 days, and he needs to fast. Okay, very good. Next question, true or false? If a person is traveling, he must first know the distance before he decides whether or not to break his fast. True or false? If a person is traveling, he must first know the distance before he decides whether or not he should break his fast. Very good. That answer is false. And we talked in detail about that yesterday too, how there is no authentic hadith that says, that puts a certain amount of mileage. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anytime you are traveling on a long journey and you're leaving your city, going to another city, you can break your fast. He said from one city to another. He did not put mileage on it or kilometers on it. Okay? So basically, those are the things that we discussed yesterday. And today we're going to continue now by speaking about the rulings concerning the person who is sick. Okay? Now again, in the event of any sickness that makes a person feel sick, the person does not have to fast. And this is based on Allah's statement in the interpretation of the meaning. And whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days on which one did not observe fasting must be made up from other days. So here, if a person is sick, he does not have to fast. But again, the sickness cannot be minor. It can't be something like you got a cough. You're starting to cough, so you decided that you're not going to fast. Or your voice is hoarse. You lost your voice, so you're not going to fast. It can't be a slight headache. Oh, I have a slight headache, so I'm not going to fast. It must be a real sickness. It must be a sick sickness that will really affect you, that fasting would really make worse. If a person is seriously ill, then he does not have to fast the next day. Say, for example, you are seriously ill. You're sick with the flu real bad. You don't have to make intentions to fast, okay, for the next day or anything. Okay? So again, a person who is sick does not have to fast, but it must be a real sickness, a sickness that will affect you, that fasting will really affect and make worse. It can't be something like, I got a cough or something like that. Also, concerning the rulings of fasting, If fasting will cause unconsciousness, then a person does not have to fast. Or if a person is fasting and he gets sick, and this sickness will lead to unconsciousness, he can make that fast up later. Also, if a person is fasting and he falls unconscious during the day and he wakes up before Maghrib, his fast is still valid. This is something very important. That's very important. If you were fasting, then sometime in the day you just fell out unconscious. You wake up in Maghrib, your fast is still valid as long as you were fasting before you went unconscious. Okay, a lot of people say, well, how would this happen? Anything can happen. Say you woke up a day, you're fasting, you went to work, and a box fell on your head. A box fell on your head and knocked you unconscious. When you came to, you were at the hospital, and it was Maghrib. Your fast was still valid. You don't have to make that day up. Okay? But if the person was unconscious from Fajr until Maghrib, then his fast is not valid. That's the key, guys. Say, for example, you're eating your dinner in the nighttime. All of a sudden, you get sick and you go unconscious. You were unconscious before the next day even begun, before the next day of fasting had even begun. You have to make that day up. Again, it's only if you were fasting and you become unconscious during that time. That's the only time that you don't have to make it up. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Also, if a person feels extreme hunger or thirst while he is fasting, and he fears that he may die as a result of it, or he may become seriously damaged, then he can break his fast and make that day up later on, because we have a right to save our lives. Okay? So that's the only valid excuse you have for breaking your fast. If you were seriously hungry to the point of dying of starvation, how would that happen? I don't know. But if in a case like that, you can break your fast and make it up later. Also, a lot of people ask the question, what about the type of job we work in? Some people work in physically demanding jobs. For example, you could be a person that works out there repairing the streets. You're working all day in a hot sun. Your job is demanding. A lot of people ask, are they exempt from fasting because of this? The answer is no. People who work in physically demanding jobs are not allowed to break their fast. They have to still fast. However, if you are working at a physically demanding job, and for some reason or another, fasting will cause you to harm yourself, then in that case, you can break your fast. However, it is strongly suggested, guys, that if you do have a physically demanding job, that you go on vacation for that month, or you try to find another job that doesn't interfere with you fulfilling your obligation to Allah. Yeah, that's a good example. A construction worker. Just because you are a construction worker, that does not give you an excuse to break your fast. You still have to fast. And if your job causes a conflict with you fulfilling your obligation to Allah, then you need to go find another job. And this is the same thing for anything. We talk about people who try to look for excuses to not go to Juma. There's a lot of men who say, my job won't let me off from work to go to Juma prayer. Well, if it's interfering with you fulfilling your obligation to Allah, then it's time that you find another job. You need to start looking for another job, one that will let you off for work for Juma. See, Allah is not going to accept these excuses from us on the day of judgment. He's going to ask you, why did you put your job before him? Okay? Also, for those people who are college students, taking an exam, having an exam is not an excuse to not fast. And I know many, many, many Muslims who are in college or going to school to be doctors, and they try to use that as an excuse to not fast. Oh, I can't fast because I got an exam to study for. Again, if your exam is interfering in your fulfilling your obligation to Allah, then you give the school up. You don't give the fasting up, you give up the school. So you cannot use your exams in school as an excuse to not fast, like so many, many of these Muslims do. Also, it is not permissible to obey your parents if they tell you not to fast. There's a lot of people who say, oh, I'm not fasting because my mother and father told me they want me to concentrate on getting this engineering degree. They want me to concentrate on my exams. Well, your mother and father are not Allah. And we do not obey our parents when they tell us to do something which is in total contradiction to what Allah says. So again, you can't put the blame on your parents either to try to get out of fasting. So thus, guys, a person who is sick does not have to fast. However, he must make his days up later. Those are whatever days the sick person misses during Ramadan, he must make them up later. So now this brings us to another question that many people ask. What about a person? What kind of sick people are exempt from fasting altogether? This was a question that somebody asked yesterday. The people who are exempt from fasting altogether are people who are chronically ill. These are people who are suffering from a chronic illness and they have no hopes of recovery. Or this is an old person who is too old to fast. This is a person, for example, diabetes don't count. By the way, guys, so what? You're a diabetic, big deal. You got to fast. Okay? Big deal. You got to fast. The only people who are exempt from fasting are chronically ill people who have no hopes of recovery. In other words, these people are knocking on death's door. These are people sitting up in a hospital dying from cancer. These are your people dying from HIV. These are people who are looking at death. They don't have to fast. But what they have to do is feed a poor person for each day that they can't fast. Okay, so if you are a person suffering from a chronic illness, You don't have to fast, but you still must feed one poor person with half a saw of food for every day that you cannot fast. So if you go through the whole month without fasting because you're dying from cancer, that's 30 people you have to feed. And you can do it one of two ways. You can feed the person all at once, or you can feed them day to day. Okay? It's up to you. And you have to give food, not money. A lot of people think, well, okay, I can't fast. I'm just going to write a check out for $30. No, 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 no. It must be food, not money. For each day that you are unable to fast, if you are a person who is chronically ill, and because of your chronic illness, you can't fast, or if you are a person that's too old and senile, there are some people who are just too old to fast, they're senile. They don't have to fast, but they too have to feed one poor person a day. Okay? So those basically are the rulings that we need to be aware of concerning the sick. Because we got a lot of Muslims who think, okay, oh, I'm a diabetic, so I don't have to fast. No, 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 that ain't no chronic illness. Okay? I got asthma, so I don't have to fast. No, 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 that ain't no chronic illness. My head hurts today. No, 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 no. I got the TB germ. That ain't no chronic illness either. Okay, so only people who are suffering from a chronic illness. And in regards to the elderly people are defined. Let me define that too. Because we got some Muslims who think that if you're over the age of 50, you're considered an elderly person. You don't have to fast. We even have some Muslim women who actually stop wearing hijab when they turn 50. They say, oh, I'm 50 years old now, so I can just take this stuff off. This is wrong. The elderly is defined as a person who has lost their strength, and they are getting weaker and weaker every day because death is approaching them. They need to eat to keep their strength. Fasting would be too difficult for them. This is an elderly person who is exempt from fasting. Also, those people who are so old that they have become senile and confused, they don't have to fast either because they're so confused and messed up, they're not aware of what they're doing anyway. These are the definitions of elderly people. We're not talking about anyone over the age of 50. We're talking about if you are at the point where you are so old and you are looking at death and you become weaker and weaker each day, you don't have to fast. But instead, you do have to feed one poor person for each day. Another group of people that are exempt from fasting are those people who are fighting in an army. If fasting will make you too weak to fight, then you can break your fast. Okay? So those are the only times that a person can break their fast. Are there any questions about this? Okay, again, because there's many, many, many misconceptions that the people have about this sickness and stuff. Okay, so I'm going to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we're going to move on to the next chapter, which talks a little bit more in detail about some more rulings of fasting. If you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them now.